I'd like now to welcome to the program Rick Palmer. He is co-owner of Garcia Street Books, and Anthony Hassett. He's a poet, writer, and visual artist, and Anthony will be doing a reading at Garcia Street Books on Saturday, tomorrow, the 12th of May, at 2 in the afternoon. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. Great, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So you, I mean, Rick, you have a bookstore, and you work very much, Anthony, in the genre of books, whether it's actually poetry or visual art.
Right, right, yeah. And, yeah, and so recently I had the opportunity to publish some of my work, and it is a combination of poetry that's been written over the past 15 years as I've traveled around the world. I've been to about 40 countries in the past decade, and visual art that I've been working on at the same time. They were kind of projects that went side by side, and they're joined together in this book, and hopefully there'll be another book that will continue this. But and Garcia Street Books has been really great. It's one of my favorite bookstore in Santa Fe, and Rick gave me the opportunity to read my work there, and so I'm going to take it.
Yeah, well, we're excited.
Tomorrow too.
Wonderful thing indeed. Now, some of your visual or many of your visual images come from Google searches.
Right, right.
Which I find fascinating.
Yeah. The project started about 5 years ago, and it was... It was based on, I'd be searching for different things online, and Google just started to represent this kind of mirror to me of our culture. And I think it was the philosopher Hegel, he talked about the silent weaving of the soul, and basically it was what that meant was how a process could occur in a culture that changed the spiritual and social coordinates of that culture without the culture actually being aware of it. And to me, the internet has been that process. I think that we've been seeing so many changes in the world, but especially in the United States, since the advent of the internet. And particularly Google Images, I found that if I, of course, took off the search filter when I made my query, I could type in some innocuous search query like interracial and get some of the most insane images, you know, or
meaning,
high school.
Meaning pornographic.
Well, lots of porn, you know, and just mixed in with, you know, healthy family religious.
Wow.
Apparently,
I would've known.
This is, this is the conduit. But, and so I started using these Moleskine books. And so basically it's been going to technology. And the internet, I think, is obviously considered a dangerous tool. Right now we're seeing the government is trying to get control over internet content. But it's to take the content from the internet. I mean, books are now being published on the publishing industry is deteriorating. A lot of people are reading online, Kindle, stuff like that. But to take images from technology, bring them back into this archaic form of the book in order to highlight the violence and the, some of the violence and the
May
the
I interject
power.
Weirdness?
Yeah, and the weirdness. Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect word. You know, and so the books reflect that. Yeah.
There's also something about scale and time. Like, you were doing something, I mean, you can return 750,000 images in 1 second,
right?
But to then start rendering images on paper in these little books by hand,
right,
slows things way down, and
right,
those images become more resonant and meaningful to
true,
because you're taking so much time with them.
And I think, yeah, also to the viewer, I mean, you start to see there's nothing, everything in the books, and I think I've done about 35 books already. All the content is from Google. And it's basically, you know, it takes me about 30 days to do a book, you know. And so the content is reflective of what is on, you know, that what is overwhelming to us on the internet, you know, like when we see a page of Google Images, we're looking for something. But it does, it slows it down, and you can actually see what.
And you're making these, what do you call them, accordionized?
Yeah, they're accordion, no, Japanese albums, the moleskin albums. So they open up like an accordion, and they can be exhibited.
And you'll be displaying those.
Yeah, we're going to open them up at the store. I'll clear off a table, and we'll spread them out as much as I can.
So you, Rick Palmer, bought Garcia Street Books last year.
March of this year.
March of this year.
Yeah, we took over, Adam Gates and I took over March 1st.
Okay, and you are a lover of books, first of all.
I better be. I own a bookstore now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a tricky time to be going into the book business as we are dealing with e-books and all that kind of thing. How do you deal with that?
It is tough. Luckily, we have a great location. We have a great, you know, kind of niche here in Santa Fe. We're lucky to be in Santa Fe. I don't know if I would have bought a store if it was in Los Angeles or in a big city. I don't know if people in bigger towns seem to, you know, small businesses maybe aren't as, you know, they don't go to them as much. But here, it's very popular. People love the place. They love going in and looking at books. You know, with all the tourists that come in there, the thing that I always hear is, you know, God, I wish I had a place like this where I lived where I could go and look at books.
Right.
So I just hope that bookstores don't become kind of shopping areas for people to go buy things online. You do see that a lot of people going, can I get a piece of paper and let me write down some titles? And you're hoping that they're going to get them from an independent bookstore. But, you know,
I think that when people say that, I think the answer is no.
I sometimes pepper spray them, but that doesn't
go over so
no,
good.
No, but it's a fact of life. I mean, the internet's not going to go away. We got to compete and do what we do best. You know, having good customer service, having books that you want to look at before you buy them, like nice art books.
Yeah, I was going to say art books and children's books seem like two examples of things that are really you want to hold them and touch them and open them, and you cannot get the quality or the experience.
It doesn't translate to a Kindle or to an iPad or anything else.
Yeah,
and just being able to stumble upon things that you wouldn't necessarily know about. Some writer that you think is amazing that you just found because you picked up the copy at the store and you've never heard of it. So.
And it's a nice area, too.
We're very lucky. Once again, we have parking and be next door to downtown subscription. And Photo Eye is very helpful. I mean, it's a very popular spot in town.
So are you planning on doing a lot of author readings and events like this?
Mm-hmm. We are, yeah. Anything that brings people in, you know. In the last year or so, I've noticed a lot since the borders have gone out of business, a lot of people coming in and saying, well, you know, I've lived here for 5 years. I had no idea you guys were here. Because, you know, back when borders was around, people went to borders. So these events bring attention to your store. They bring people in who maybe wouldn't come in, and maybe they find something else in there, you know, the book they're going to get at the signing. Maybe they find five other books they're going to get. Just, you know, get people to know you're there and get them coming back.
And I think it's really worth underlining the fact that we are in a city that supports multiple local independent bookstores, whereas the chain stores have left.
And
it's unusual.
Yeah. It is. I don't know, with bookstores, you may see more independent bookstores coming around. There was just a huge article a couple months ago on the front page of the New York Times about Ann Patchett, the writer, who just started her own bookstore in Knoxville, Tennessee. That was her hometown. They lost their bookstore. They had no more bookstores in town, and she started one. So, and people love it. Apparently it's doing very well. So you may see in more, you know, it depends on the city. I mean, like I say, we're lucky, and Santa Fe is a very unique place to be. It's a unique town, and so, a very literary town, too.
It's a literate town, yeah. There's only 740 independent bookstores in the United States at this point.
And we have 17 of them or something?
Well, at one time, Santa Fe had more independent bookstores per capita than any city in the country. When I first moved here...
It still probably does.
I mean, there's Los Llanos, there was Caxton's, there was one on Caxton. Johnson Street, there was one up at Canyon Road, so there were...
And there's still, you know, the Ark.
Right, there's the Ark still in town.
There's Collected Works. There's a bunch of used bookstores.
There's a lot of great used bookstores. Nick Potter. I mean, there's Leo Romero's store on Aztec Street.
That's right.
Travel Bug is just, you know, books and stuff, and people kind of forget they're over on Paseo, but, you know, there's a lot of places you can go get books in town that you don't have to go online.
A very unusual city in which we live. Rick Palmer is co-owner of Garcia Street Books. Anthony Hassett is a poet, writer, and visual artist, and Anthony will be reading tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Garcia Street Books and exhibiting these lovely and very interesting moleskin books with a little rubber band around. You open them and these accordionized images come out. So we look forward to seeing you, and thank you both for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
And I'd like now to introduce Jerry Wellman and Matthew Chase Daniels. They are founders of Axel Contemporary. What would you call it? Mobile gallery?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Welcome, gentlemen. So you have published a book based on a project that you just did called E Pluribus Unum, Santa Fe. And tell us about this project. It basically involved you guys making photographs from your mobile gallery truck of whoever was walking by and wanted to participate.
That's exactly right. It refers, in a way, back to the 1700s, in which painters would go from community to community to paint pictures of people. And we have digital means now, so we didn't have to bring along a whole slew of paints and have to clean brushes. And, you know, it's a lot cleaner and neater than it is, was. So we wanted to include the entire community, and we went all over town. We covered out in Zafferano at Sunflower Market. We went to Genevieve Chavez Center. Went to La Montanita Co-op. Pretty much, I think we covered all the corners of town.
And so people would come, and they would sit in your little portrait gallery, I mean, your portrait studio.
Yes.
And you would get them to hold an object that they cared about.
Yeah, we asked everyone to bring an object if they could, if they were planning on coming to see us. We advertised and put out the word where we'd be, which day. And people who didn't have an object, who just happened by, we had a selection of random objects. So if something spoke to them personally, they would hold that.
Did most of the people just happen by, or did everyone know about it? I didn't know about it.
It was about half and half, probably.
Because I happened to be walking, leaving KSFR and going to my car in the parking lot of the Santa Fe Community College, and you guys were there, and I popped in, and I felt bad that I didn't have a dog with me.
Right, I remember you saying that. it was a real combination of those things. And we had a printer in the studio, and so we would print pictures as we took them in the next, 5 minutes or so, and distributed those free to everyone. So it was really nice that everyone could walk away with their picture.
With the same portrait that you then plastered on the outside of the van.
That's right. We had, also later, some of the people wanted their portraits in a more archival fashion. So we printed them on some very fine quality paper, and they were able to do with the portraits as they wish, share it with their children or whatever.
And so you also published a book, which I'm holding in my hands, E Pluribus Unum Santa Fe, Axel Contemporary. Why did you choose all these, to publish all these things, put all these photos together?
I just figure in 50 years, this will be a great document of what life was like in Santa Fe. The objects, for the most part, kind of signify our material things of this era, this time in living here. And some of the objects are universal and don't necessarily have a space and time. But
like your toddler.
Well, your toddler definitely is not going to be a toddler in 30 years. But it's really nice to think to have these. And I could just see these in a history museum or something in 30, 40, 100 years.
I was going to say, you should put in the time capsule of the New Mexico History Museum for the bicentennial of the state of New Mexico.
That's a good idea.
The other thing about publishing the book is that book publishing has changed so much recently. And even though we did this project just in March, we're able now to publish a book this quickly and fairly inexpensively.
Right.
And so it's like a new art form for artists to be able to present projects in a book in a simple, direct way. So we just wanted to engage with that. We've published several other books and a couple other books. in the past, and so we want to keep doing that. And
now you're doing an event tomorrow at Site Santa Fe.
Yeah, it'll be from 11 to 1 at Site Santa Fe in the Time Capsule Lounge, which is their back room in their current time-lapse show.
So you're actually going to be indoors, not
yes.
in your your van?
The van will be parked out front with the current exhibition, which is an installation by Laura Nickel and Brandon Soder called Jungle, which is a little sort of like a natural history diorama all made out of cloth and paper of a jungle. But we'll be inside in the back room with a big pile of books, and people can come by and purchase the book. And we'll also be screening a video that we made, which is a slideshow, very quick slideshow of all 566 portraits, and then the portraits also being blended together into the image which is on the cover of the book, which is an amalgam of everyone who had their portrait taken.
No way.
Yeah,
it's 566 people all in one.
Oh my goodness, I thought it was what it looks like is a sort of ghostly, out of focus image of an androgynous young person.
Yeah, well, that's
very
dark
eyes.
We all are.
That's,
we've been nicknaming her Nuestra Señora de Santa Fe.
Nuestra Señora de Santa Fe. Yeah, I guess she's a señora, or he, or I don't know. I guess we. So, what is your next activity in the mobile art van?
We're going to have, in June, we're going to have a series of performance and happenings each weekend in June.
That's
and
so 1960s.
60s are back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, Occupy Movement and all that. It was like 2 years ago somebody told me, you know, the 60s are coming back, and by gosh, they were right. It looks like they are back.
So what kind of happenings?
Well, there's going to be one person's going to come up. I don't know how to describe it. Sort of vaudeville puppetry with music. Sounds really fun. That's Ross Hamlin. Many people there know him. And Greta Young's going to do a kind of a recreate a sort of a cave-like feeling inside the van.
She's going to cover all the windows and doors in black fabric, so it's pitch dark inside the gallery, and she's going to hang her drawings, which are nude portraits, somewhat abstracted, on the walls and also sort of crumpled on the floor. And you'll go, each person as they go in will be given a flashlight. So it's experiencing the art with flashlight in the pitch black rather than in a well-lit gallery.
Very interesting.
And then Rima Miller, as a choreographer, is going to do a dance piece with a group of people. It sort of has a feeling of Buto. That'll be the very first one on June 1st. And then finally we're going to connect up with the Currents new media exhibition in late June. And we'll have a couple of video performance pieces. I'll be doing one and Joseph Sanchez will be doing another.
Jerry Willman and Matthew Chase Daniels are the founder of Axel Contemporary. And once again, catch them tomorrow at Site Santa Fe from 11 to 1. And check out this new book, E Pluribus Unum, which you can also find at on the web. You can find them on the web. What is it? AxelPress.com?
Yes, that'll work.
And thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Jason Silverman from the Center for Contemporary Arts, the CCA. He is the, what do you call yourself, film curator?
I'm the director of the Cinematheque.
Director of the Cinematheque. And welcome to the Radio Cafe. What's going on this upcoming time? You're having it. Is it an anime festival?
It's an anime festival. It's the Studio Ghibli retrospective. 14 films over 14 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
You know much about Studio Ghibli?
No.
You've seen some of these films, I think.
Have
you
I?
Seen Spirited Away or
no.
Ponyo?
No.
Princess Mononoke?
No.
My Neighbor Totoro?
No.
So you got to block out every Friday at 5:30 for the next 14 weeks, because they'll change your life.
So what is it about these movies
well,
that'll change your life?
Well, Hayao Miyazaki, who is the founder of Studio Ghibli, is probably the greatest living animator. Some people say he's the greatest living filmmaker. And he still makes movies the old-fashioned way, the animation the old-fashioned way, with hand-drawn cells, they're painstakingly made.
Really? They're hand-drawn
cells? They're hand-drawn. And he draws a lot of them himself still.
Oh, my goodness.
And Spirited Away, which opens the series tonight, is the only non-English film to win the best Oscar for animated feature. And he's got the status of that Walt Disney has here in Asia. And his films have become big hits here as well. My Neighbor Totoro was named one of the best five children's films of all time by Roger Ebert. And some of these films have not been seen in the U.S. before.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they're the most beautiful thing. You know, they're very fanciful in certain ways, but they're also, you know, they're very rigorous, too. And there's a lot of kind of nature. There's, you know, gods and nature, creature, you know, how do I say it, fairies and forest spirits.
Magical spirits.
Interacting with humans in ways that seem completely natural. And it represents a wholly different spiritual belief system. And they're beautiful. They're as beautiful as any cinema that's been made, I'd say.
And so this starts today?
This starts at 5:30 tonight.
5:30 tonight at the CCA.
And what happens is we have 14 different films. Each one plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday in the late afternoon, Saturday, Sunday in the mornings. And there's series passes, etc. And this is
Saturday, Sunday in the morning. So you're really reaching out to young people.
Kids love this, but they're also the kind of films that adults are obsessed with, too. I've never seen my box office staff, which are all 20-somethings, as excited about anything we've done in the theater in my
really?
8.5 years there. So it's a really special event, and it's only playing in a few cities nationally. You know, it's New York, L.A., Santa Fe, Chicago kind of thing.
And so it's a sort of package tour, so to speak, of these films? I mean, they're distributing them as a tour?
Studio Ghibli, in collaboration with Walt Disney Studios and an awesome small distributor called G-Kids, which also released Chico and Rita, which I know you're fond of, put this together over the course of years. And they've struck, out of the 14 films, 12 of them are brand new restored prints. So this is just a rarity.
When were they made?
Studio Ghibli was started in 1985. The first film we're showing is actually 1984. The success of that film is the reason that the studio was founded. So they've been made over the last 28 years or so.
Do you feel like they've influenced Japanese culture as a whole?
Oh, they're the biggest. You know, when you hear about manga and anime, Miyazaki is the central figure, the most revered figure, and there's not a close second. Like I said, he's you know, if you think about Disney and his status here, and Disney has a whole connotation.
Yeah.
Studio Ghibli has that same connotation in Asia.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. You can find out more on the CCA website, which is ccasantafe.org, or call 982-1338 here in Santa Fe. Jason Silverman, director of the CCA Cinematheque, marvelous filmmaker, marvelous film theater director. I mean, theater director here in, it doesn't sound right, cinema director.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're directing people.
We
on
have to
a
come
stage.
Up with a new language, Mary Charlotte, to describe it.
No, it's just, I'm just pre-caffeinated, that's all. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
We'll be right back with Rob DeWalt. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he's with us some Fridays, speaking of the arts, and it's so great to have you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine.
It's been a little while, hasn't
it? It's been a little while.
Yeah.
All of our life challenges go on.
Yes, definitely.
So tell us about some things that are happening this weekend and coming week.
Let's see. Well, of course, the anime show that you just spoke to Jason about is going to be killer.
Killer.
It's going to be killer, and that runs, gosh, through August. So there's a great story in Pasatiempo today on page 56. Really well designed.
Excellent.
Very colorful. You know, the pasta is getting thicker because a lot more people are having openings as the weather gets a little warmer.
Right.
More people start coming to town with a few more dollars in their pocket. So we have Gosh, we have Georgia O'Keeffe in the Far Away, Nature and Image, and that opens today. There is no reception, but it's up through May 5th, 2013. So you have a little time to go see it. We also have a downtown subscription, Fire and Ice, Paintings and Drawings by Andrea Broyles, and there's a reception today from 4 to 6 p.m. And that's up through, I believe, the rest of the month. And this is a cool one. It's About Time, 14,000 Years of Art in New Mexico. It's a book signing.
Yeah, and we talked to Joe Trogdon about that. That sounds so great.
Yeah, that's going to be a great one. And that's up, let's see, there's a reception at, 5:30? There's a great story today in PASA on page 32.
Now, can I tell you something from the Santa Fe Opera?
Yes.
The Shoes for Santo Nino Chorus editions are coming up. This is an event that happens in August, and the choral auditions are this Sunday, May 13th, at the Opera House from 3 until 5. And they're looking for boys and girls between the ages of 6 and 14. So, children with mellifluous voices. If you want to hear more about that, 986-5996, you can call to request an audition.
Neato.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, the 16th at 7:30 p.m., James Gleick, who wrote this great book called The Information, A History, A Theory, A Flood, is presenting a lecture called The Information, How We Came to Be Deluged by Tweets. And this guy's pretty amazing. In 93, I think it was, he and another computer programmer launched the Pipeline Network, which was sort of an early version of an internet service provider in New York. He's sort of one of these instrumental people that at least on a local level started driving the World Wide Web to fruition. And he's a very astute speaker and a very good writer, and this lecture that he's giving is really about how information is transmitted now, what gets lost in the mix by because of the information overload. And he has a great quote. He says, "Ask bloggers and tweeters which is worse, too many mouths or too many ears," which I find interesting. So that is at the Santa Fe Institute. Santa Fe Institute is presenting it, but it's at the James A. Little Theater at the New Mexico School for the Deaf at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday.
Excellent.
And there's no charge for the lecture, which is neat.
They've got terrific people coming in and giving public presentations on a regular basis. Definitely worth checking out. But I can tell you how not to be deluged by tweets. You just don't open your Twitter.
Oh. You just don't open your Twitter?
Yeah, and then you don't get deluged. Hey, I've got a cat one and a dog one.
Okay.
Can I just say? The Felines and Friends, a local cat rescue organization, is featuring as the cat of the week the newly born kittens. It's multiple cats of the week. Ina, Ainsley, Alice, Alistair, and Arlena, who were given to them by a woman in a motel who had unfortunately been evicted, and she had no place for her kittens. They're very sweet, lovely, and playful. If you're interested, call 505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com. You can also Google Felines and Friends New Mexico. And then, not this Saturday and Sunday, but the next one, because I'm not going to be here a week from today, Saturday and Sunday, May 19th and 20th, ladies and gentlemen, put this in your calendar. It's the annual spring open house and collective birthday party for the animals at Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And that is a wonderful place down on Route 14, south of town.
Yes.
It's Saturday and Sunday, and you can meet their animals. It's kind of like an animal hospice and an animal sanctuary. And they have this collective birthday party, and they also have workshops on things like managing pain and disabilities, investing in health versus illness. They've got one in animal communication. They've got Tellington Touch, acupuncture for health, all of this for your animals. For more information, 471-5366, or you can go to the Kindred Spirits website. Just Google Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary.
Neato. I got a dog thing.
You got a dog thing?
I got a dog thing. Wednesday the 16th, it's Assistance Dogs of the West graduation.
Yes. I'm going to try to get them on the air next week.
It's so fun. I went to the one at the Community Convention Center. Was it last year or the year before?
I can't remember. It's really fun.
It's all a foggy mess. But this one's at the Greer Garson Theater at 6 p.m. on the 16th. And tickets are available by calling 988-1234, which is the Lenzig box office. I'm sure you could swing by and purchase tickets as well. And then also, there's a lot of stuff going on Wednesday for some reason. At 7 p.m. on Wednesday at the Lenzig, Lydia Davis is going to be the short story writer, Lydia Davis, with Ben Marcus. And this is a Lannan Foundation Readings and Conversation Series event. And that's at the Lenzig. And, of course, tickets at 988-1234. And I believe 3:30 at 3:30 on Sunday, the 20th, it's going to be broadcast on a certain radio station.
Certain radio station known as KSFR.
Yes. KSFR.
We rebroadcast the Lannan. And those, you know, those readings and conversations are so fabulous. And you can go to any one of them and never have heard. I mean, sometimes they're very famous authors, and sometimes they're authors that are famous within a certain circle, but I've never heard of them. And you just go anyway, and it's always good.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the case for me, is that I look through the list when the schedules first come out, and I'm like, I don't know half of these people.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And then you're glad that you did.
And then you go, and you're like, wow. I'm glad I invested the time in doing that.
Mixed Heritage is an IAIA student faculty poetry reading, and that is, say, the 11th already? Yeah, the 11th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's at Opsit Books at 930 C. Baca Street here in Santa Fe, hosted by Opsit Books and Chrisnell Trudeau. And definitely check out the Native American poets and faculty. It should be very interesting.
Yeah. Wow, quick shout out to the people that organized the memorial for David Lesh yesterday.
Yes.
On the plaza. I mean,
you have a piece about him in today's Positempo?
I wrote about it in my column.
Okay.
Just a personal send-off. You know, David and I always used to, you know, bug David about certain kinds of music that I wish, you know, would be on the bandstand ticket, but, you know, probably wouldn't appeal to most people.
What, the kind of Japanese punk mariachi fusion kind of thing?
With pasties. Yes. Yeah, you know, and so, but I mean, he took it in stride, and you know, we always had a good laugh about it, but he was...
A terrible loss to Santa Fe. He was a great guy, and he did so much for the city in terms of the outside-in concerts that were on the plaza that every summer. What's going to happen now? Is somebody going to step into his shoes?
You know, according to the president of the board of directors, there's at least a posting on the bandstand website and the outside-in website that the work is going to continue. Now, structurally, how that's going to happen, I don't know. You know, I'm just going to wait for them to take care of, you know, what they need to take care of before, you know, everybody needs time to grieve. But
yeah.
But at least for the time being, the bandstand series is safe, and I believe that they're still doing the workshops, the guitar workshops and the hip hop dance workshops. So I believe July 5th the bandstand starts, and it runs through sometime in August.
Okay, July 5th through August, and a very sad farewell to the wonderful David Lesh.
Yes, it was great. I went up to Marble Brewery because I really needed a beer after work yesterday, and saw they did a New Orleans style second line parade, and they
nice.
Had people on stilts and they had people on unicycles. Anyway, it was very moving, and you know, everyone was, a lot of out of towners were like, "What's going on? Does this happen here all the time?" And you know what? I wish it would.
Indeed. New Orleans style.
Yes.
Memorials in Santa Fe.
Exactly.
Tonight at, let's see, the New Mexico School for the Arts is having a gala and live auction at the Lenzig. It is a celebratory evening of dance, music, theater, and visual arts, spotlighting the creativity of the School for the Arts students. And there's a reception at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Annex. And then there is the event at the Lenzig. All proceeds go to New Mexico School for the Arts students.
Neato.
Yep. 988-1234 for more information.
Hey, there's a couple of things going on that are Warehouse 21 related that I wanted to mention really quick. Tonight is Youth Music Night at the Museum of International Folk Art. I believe this is an annual event, and it's from 6 to 9 p.m. up there on Museum Hill. At the Museum of International Folk Art, there's live music by DJ Mickey Paz, Alex Monasterio, the regulars. There's going to be free food, art activities, and a multimedia tour of the Girard Wing of the museum. And that's cool, and it's free. And then on Tuesday at 7 p.m. At Warehouse 21, this great guy from Austin named Sorn, very odd, strange, experimental musician slash poet slash...
Slash
singer-songwriter slash. He makes most of the instruments that he and his band use. I would call it probably indie rock.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. That's there's no charge for the show. Alex Monasterio is also going to be opening for that show. So those are two things that are happening.
And the Do Return anniversary event,
yes,
featuring the debut of Ann Farrell's The Do Return documentary film and Q&A with Meow Wolf members, is tonight at 8 o'clock. There is a very low admission, and where the heck is it? Do you know where it is? Dudes, put this on your press release.
Oh, yeah. It's at the Center for Contemporary Arts at 8 p.m.
It's at the CCA in the same place where the Do Return was, the Munoz Waxman Gallery?
I believe so. I don't think it's at the Cinematheque.
Okay.
So,
well, go to the CCA and you'll figure it out. Tonight,
yeah.
Low charge, Meow Wolf, wonderful group.
Check it out. There was something I wanted to mention, but I can't seem to find it. Do you have anything?
I do. There is Fruit, Trees, and Bees, a free lecture by Master Gardener Ken Bauer, tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the Zia Financial Meeting Rooms at La Tienda in El Dorado. And it's the last in the garden lecture series that leads up to the third annual El Dorado Gardening Tour on the 2nd of June.
Neato.
I should start going to those things. I'm trying to grow flowers.
You're trying to grow flowers?
Yeah, this is second year.
I hate being in limbo between houses because, you know, we're growing stuff.
Yeah.
But we ate our first broccoli out of the raised beds last night.
Nice.
So that was cool. But I've had so much arugula, I think I'm done. I've had so much arugula.
I'll take the excess off your hands.
Okay. I feel like such an elitist.
I've had too much arugula. No, arugula is not elitist. Okay. I've got wild arugula growing outside the chain link fence outside my yard next to the sidewalk. And it's
sure
really good, and it's really strong. And yes, I've eaten it, and it's arugula. You have to wash it.
Yeah. If it's along a fence, there's a good chance that dogs have...
Legacies of the Manhattan Project. Harold Agnew, Murray Gell-Mann, Greg Herkin, Stan Norris, Linda Cordell, Jessica Fleck, Ellen Bradbury, Gino Segre... Tomorrow and Sunday from 9 to 3, this is an event that is happening at the Santa Fe Institute. And it's accessible only via Twitter. And it's hashtag @bomblegacy or follow @nucleardiner. And you can also find out more information at nucleardiner.com. So this is a tweet in event called Legacies of the Manhattan Project. You heard it here first.
Hey, it's Community Days on the Plaza on Saturday. This is a long event. This is from noon to 10 p.m. And there's it's a big lineup. Trumpeter Ryan Montano, who lives in Albuquerque and is about to release his first full-length album, is going to be playing down there. Now, I interviewed Ryan. And this guy's pretty amazing for being 24 years old. He's been in films. He's a production manager at, I want to say, is it Univision or no, Telemundo? I believe it's Telemundo. He's got a modeling contract. He's represented by a Santa Fe agency. And he's working with some great musicians in Albuquerque. Anyway, there's a story about him in Paso Tiempo on page 26, but also on the bill is Valle Español de Santa Fe, Valle Folclórico, Grupo Jorencia, let's see, Rubik Zoo, Soulfire, and a bunch of other people. If you call 955-6852, you can find out more information about this. For some reason, it doesn't say where it is. Oh, Community Days are on the plaza, and there's no charge.
Right.
So noon to 10 p.m. And Ryan will be performing at around 5.
So I got a thing from the Northern New Mexico group of the Sierra Club saying that their biannual yard sale is happening tomorrow. They're looking for volunteers to price items today from 3 to 7 and then to help on Saturday for this event. But it doesn't say where. Here's the event. The event is from 8 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon at 1859 Camino de Pabilo. P-A-B-I-L-O. That doesn't sound right. Pabilo. That's what it says. For more information, you can contact the Sierra Club Northern New Mexico chapter.
Neato.
Yeah, yard sales. Pablito. I like yard sales.
I love yard sales.
It didn't say Pablito. It says Pabilo.
Pabilo.
I looked on the Google map, and in fact, it is Pabilo.
Oh.
And it's south of Zia Road.
Okay.
Near the intersection of St. Francis and Zia. You go west on Zia, and then you go south on Galisteo. Anyway, you can find it.
So our dear friend Robert Knott and Pasatiempo writer Robert Knott wrote a great story today about Love and Emma Goldman, a rock opera, which is presented by Wise Fool New Mexico and the Santa Fe Performing Arts Company. It opens at 7 p.m. Thursday, May 17th, over at the Armory for the Arts, and it runs through May 20th. And I believe if you call the box office, get online and find the number for the Armory for the Arts box office. But tickets are on a sliding scale at the door. You can email emmagoldmanrocks@yahoo.com.
That'll work.
At yahoo.com for reservations. So I guess you put your reservations down and then show up and grab your tickets.
Excellent. So what else is happening? Of course, David Geist is at the Geist Cabaret at Pronzo. He plays the piano and sings and has wonderful music up there. And a conversation with Valerie Plame and Michael McGarity tonight at 6 o'clock.
Yes, you interviewed him yesterday.
I did, yeah.
It was a great interview.
Thank you.
It was
terrific. And also, today from 3:30 to 6:30, a conversation with Valerie Plame and many mothers at the Hemes Room at Santa Fe Community College. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. How can that be when she's also going to be at at Collected Works Bookstore?
She's ex-CIA. She can do lots of things.
She can be in two places at once?
Well, she's a double agent, maybe. Hmm. Get it? Double. Anyway, hey, also the New Mexico School for the Arts Visual Arts Department, the students are having a reception and showing of art at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex.
That was that gala.
No, this is different. The gala's on Friday.
Right.
And this is an art show that's on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
And so there's a reception at 5 p.m. at the Education Annex at 123 Grant Avenue. There's no charge for it, and the art will be up through May 24th, so you have a little time to go and see it. But the reception is Saturday.
Dragonfly School Spring Fair is a fundraiser with live music and silent auction that is happening, tomorrow from 10 till 2. And there's games and fun for the whole family, food, crafts, book sale, a very small suggested donation, and Dragonfly School is a terrific place and definitely worth checking out.
Sweet. Hey, Teatro Paraguas presents a bilingual performance of Fortunato. It's a drama, and I believe it's there's a show tonight at 8 p.m. at Teatro Paraguas, which is over there at Calle Marie. If you call 424-1601, you can get more info. This show continues through May 12th. And also on Friday night is One Woman Dancing 2012. It's a performance by Julie Brett Adams.
Nice.
With percussionist Jefferson Voorhees. That's at 8 p.m. at the Santa Fe Playhouse over there on DeVargas Street. And you can go to onewomandancing.com to find out more info. There's a story in the Pasatiempo on page 48. And this runs through Sunday, May 13th, which is
Mother's Day.
How's your mom?
She is wonderful.
Awesome.
And when I was young, she never wanted to celebrate Mother's Day because she thought, well,
I'm
if
a mother.
If they really
every...
have to put a day aside, and that's the only way they're going to pay attention to me, forget it. Which is right. And so we do Mother's Day when I think of it, when I think of a thing, when I see something that I think she might like, I'll buy it for her. Or and she occasionally does Daughter's Day for me. So
aww.
It's very sweet. Wise Fool. Oh, you did the Emma Goldman. Never mind.
Yeah. been there, done, did that.
Did you do the benefit concert for the tutorial school, Joanne Rand and Caroline Aiken, on Friday the 18th at 7:30? Psychedelic folk revival singer-songwriter Joan Rand and folk rocker Caroline Aiken will be doing this benefit on Friday, not today, but a week from today, at the tutorial school, 400 Brunn School Road. It's very reasonable prices, 988-1859 for more information.
Interesting.
Psychedelic folk revival singer-songwriter, man.
Psychedelic folk singer-songwriter.
And, okay, we've already done Kindred Spirits. Have I actually gotten through all my announcements? It cannot be.
It cannot be. No, hey, Sarah Nott of Santa Fe, the Chamber Music Ensemble, is performing the music of Britain and Others in a show called Give and Take at 3 p.m. at Scottish Rite Center on Sunday. Okay. Tickets are available at the door. If you go to serenadaofsantafe.org or call 989-7988, you can find out more about the show. Also on Sunday night, Los Angeles hip-hop artist Murs is going to be performing at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill out there. Where the old Santa Fe Brewing Company Pub and Grill was, off Highway 14.
Excellent.
Tickets are available at the Lens, 988-1234, ticketsantafe.org.
And, oh dear, this is happening way in the future. But since I'm not going to be here next week, Friday, May 25th, the New Mexico Bach Chorale and Players are doing their debut concert at the Immaculate Heart Chapel at 50 Mount Carmel Road. And it's an all Bach program, so this is a couple of weeks in advance, but it's worth it for those Bach lovers to put it on their calendars.
And Bach lovers.
Bach lovers.
Bach lovers.
Bach. And Ampersand Sustainable Learning Center is doing a workshop tomorrow called hike. It's called Native Plants Hike, and so it's a few hours getting to know your native plants. That's from 4 till 6:30 in the afternoon. And then May 20th, there's a passive solar design and solar cooking class. And
oh, neat. When,
after
when is
that, that's the 20th of May.
Oh, neat.
And you can go to Ampersand Project. Let's see. Ampersand Sustainable Learning Center, and you will find it.
Neato.
Yeah, they do great stuff up there.
What else is going on? Let's see. Oh, local author series. Humorous Works by Bill Osher. Doug Stewart and Wayne Lee. I should mention that Wayne Lee works for Pasta Tiempo.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, lucky you.
And
lucky
that's
pasta.
At 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 16th at La Tienda Performance Space out there in El Dorado. And you can call 930-4821 for more information on that.
And don't forget, Tim McLaughlin, Walking on Earth and Touching the Sky. This is Native American student poetry from Pine Ridge Reservation, and he did a beautiful book of their poetry. And then on Monday, Bettina Herlin, Steps of Courage. She will be reading at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. And don't forget the weekly the weekly story times that happen on Wednesday and Thursday mornings at 10:45 at Collected Works Bookstore. Lots of good stuff. Go to your local bookstores.
Yay.
And your local cinemas.
Yes.
We didn't even talk about the screen. Well, we never get everything done, but we do our best, ladies and gentlemen. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasta Tiempo Friday Arts Supplement, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, did we talk about the Schola Cantorum?
No.
Mother's Day concert at the Loreto Chapel at 7 in the evening? Anyway, lots of good stuff, and we look forward to seeing you.
Well,
in a bit.
In a bit.
We'll just say
I'll be out of town for the week of the 25th. I'm going to Las Vegas to see Van Halen. My partner and I are celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
So we've got a condo. We're going to go see
Eddie Van Halen.
Earth, Wind and Fire opening.
No.
No, is it I believe it's Earth, Wind and Fire opening for Van Halen. What a ticket, eh?
And don't forget Wednesday at 6:30 at Morgan Hall in the State Land Office, there's an event called Trees and Shrubs of New Mexico. Too much to talk about. We got to go.
We got to go.
But it's great to have you.
It's good to be back.
Be happy. Be healthy. Everybody, drive carefully. Don't drink and drive. Wear your seatbelt. Love your children and each other.
And your dogs and cats.
Yes.
And your mice and rats. And
bye.